This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Yes, good afternoon and welcome to Cravings. My name is Pete Dillon and do I have an action-packed show for you today. Our very first guests are from new Melbourne restaurant Duck Duck Goose, which had a bit of a launch party, a bit of an opening this weekend, and all sounding and looking very promising. So we'll meet Anthony and Rohan, who will join us from Duck Duck Goose, one being the general manager and the other the sommelier. And later in the program, I'm going to speak to Jane Kinsey. She's going to talk us through Slow Sundays, which are at a series of participating Docklands restaurants. So anywhere in New Quay, Old Quay, West Quay, Central Pier, Harbour Town, and Waterfront City. They're doing a bit of a special through to Sunday the 29th of August, I should say. But stick with us. We're going to talk Duck Duck Goose and some foodie news very shortly. I hope you've opened a gin and tonic, poured yourself a glass of wine. We do have a bit to get through in the next hour, first of all being foodie news. Before we do that, I would like your input into today's program. 0427JOY949 is our text message number, 0427569949, if you have one of those newfangled pieces of equipment. 1300JOY949 is the telephone number, and that's the same, 1300 569 949. You can email on air at joy.org.au, or you can indeed send a tweet to cravings_JOY949. That's open here in the studio. Or if you're one of my Facebook buddies, you can jump on and, abuse me through that little service, I guess. I did say we would talk Duck Duck Goose because it has been in our foodie news over the last year that the program has been on air. And speaking of foodie news, I'm going to stumble over this word. It's the very first word. Ari Vlasopoulos, one of the city's best known front of house faces, is opening a new Pinchos bar that he's involved with Backers, due to open late September in Brunswick Street, Fitzroy. With a working name of Naked for Satan, the street level bar will occupy cafe premises formerly known as Filter. It's all about pre-prepared toothpick snacks and not necessarily Spanish, anything Mediterranean, he says. We hope it's a meeting place with tasty nibbles to tide you over before you move on to somewhere more substantial to eat properly. His backer in the venture is restaurateur Max Fink. Max is behind both the Lucky Cock in Chapel Street and Bimbo's in Fitzroy. Robert De Niro has been in town, and the restaurant of which he is a part owner has just appointed a new head chef. Heather Zheng has come to Melbourne from Las Vegas, where she worked at Nobu, but also more recently at Andre's. She was raised in Washington, and Crown, which operates the Melbourne Nobu, says Zheng's interesting and unique background and varied experience in both French and Japanese cuisine brings a new dynamic to Nobu Melbourne. Now, the biggest news that came for me this week, and I've been stiff in the undies all week, is that the fact that Nigella Lawson is coming to Melbourne for the Good Food and Melbourne Food and Wine Show next year. She is going to be part of what seems to be a celebration of influential female chefs. She will join Elena Arzak, the chef at the 3-Michelin-starred Arzak restaurant in San Sebastian in Spain. There will be a stack of announcements coming soon. We hope to have all of those for you before tickets go on sale on the 4th of October. I can't believe it's almost time to buy tickets again. Trunk has expanded its retinue with Trunk Diner, a more casual American-style cafeteria designed to capture the breakfast and lunch trade, for which Mission owner Nick Kutcher installed a retractable roof under the exhibition space's iconic coral tree. Expect a breakfast menu plus burgers, baguettes and quesadillas. Trunk is open Monday to Friday. Leading wine and lifestyle magazine, New York-based Wine Spectator, has announced that Rockpool Bar and Grill in Sydney as the first ever recipient in the Southern Hemisphere to receive a Grand Award in the recently published 2010 Restaurant Wine Lists Awards, which honour the world's best wine lists. Perhaps Rohan, my next guest, will know something about that. Held by only 75 restaurants worldwide as of 2010, the Grand Award is given to restaurants that show an uncompromising, passionate devotion to the quality of their wine program. These restaurants have all passed rigorous evaluations, demonstrating that their wine lists, service, cuisine and ambience are worthy of the program's highest honours. Husband and wife team behind Selix Restaurant at Willow Creek on the Mornington Peninsula is opening a second restaurant in nearby Mount Eliza. Bistro Maison, on the site formerly occupied by a Thai restaurant, will be a French bistro doing dinner 7 nights a week. And Ron O'Brien, a good friend of this program, continues his hunt for his own restaurant. But in the meantime, he's bought a share in South Melbourne's Rising Sun Hotel. There will soon be a renovation of the bistro as well as a revamp of the menu. And O'Brien says it's going to be some fairly classic pub grub. Sandwiches might be somewhat below his level of expertise, but our good mate Adam De Silva is off to London after winning the inaugural Great Australian Sandwich Ship. He used dishes off his menu like the quail sanchoi bao and turned them into sandwiches, says a slightly bemused De Silva, who now competes in the world event in October. The English take their sandwiches very seriously, so it should be very, very funny. We should have him in to talk about that, I think. And Guy Grossi is, Guy Grossi is breathing a sigh of relief after work began on his Rialto tenancy, The Merchant, with an expected opening in October. The affable Italian has also been approached by Michael Reardon, publicity-averse owner of a bunch of Melbourne pubs, including the All Nations, the Swallows, and part of the Palace, to take over food for the iconic Elgin Street student watering hole, the Clyde Hotel. No final decisions at this stage, says Grossi, but I never say never. And that is indeed the foodie news for today. Sorry there was so much of it, and I hope I haven't bored you to tears. You can email onair@joy.org.au, or you can indeed send a tweet to cravings_JOY949. Just to say hello if you wish, or if you wish to ask a question for my first two guests. Their names are Rohan and Anthony. Anthony is one of the management team at Duck Duck Goose, and Rohan is the sommelier. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Pete. Good to be here.
Hang on. Just let me talk individually for me.
Thank you for having us here today.
Good.
And nice to see you.
Pete. Excellent. The microphones are working. Just lean in a little bit further so we can actually hear you. So, finally opened. Launch party earlier this week. How was it?
It was big. It was glamorous, and it was very successful. We're quite happy with the outcome. We had a great turnout. It really just shows us, I think, the interest that is in Duck Duck Goose in Melbourne. It's a really good day one and something to look forward to.
So you're open to the public now?
Not yet. We are opening next week.
So you're still in the exciting stages of unpacking glassware and
the odd bottle still going up in the shelf, yes.
Excellent. Yep. Now, I wanted you in particular, Rohan, because in somewhat of a first, you've got a champagne bar as part of Duck Duck Goose.
Correct.
Selling 23 champagnes by the glass, from my memory.
Yes.
And one of those 23 is, in fact, Krug.
That's right. On the floor in the fine dining area, we'll have three major champagnes, those being Mumm at the start, and Belle Epoque Rosé, and all the way up to Krug, yes. And just to create, obviously, a great fine dining experience with awesome, champagnes, but also to educate people on champagne and the different styles that are there. So that was part of the concept. And the original concept with the bar was, yes, we could have gone down the road of another cocktail bar, and that's done very well.
We have enough.
Yeah, it's done very well all around the streets where we are, and we decided it was better to go down the direction of champagne and sparkling wines, and even extend that to seeing what the Australian sparkling styles are like too. Mm-hmm.
Having open bottles of Krug lying around is a fairly hefty sort of expense risk to take.
Correct.
How do you see it working?
Well, it'll come down to good sales staff. We're quite fortunate to have another three sommeliers on the floor. Mm-hmm. And I think with their guidance and proper food matching, that we can push that the sale quite well.
So how big is the team of staff? If you've got three sommeliers plus Rohan as a head sommelier, I'm assuming that is your title.
Correct.
Yourself and two others as a floor management team.
That's right. Renee and Edward, who is the owner of the company.
That's Edward Ng.
And total staff, looking at floor staff at around 35, and about 35 in the kitchen.
So whose ass is going to get kicked when something goes wrong? Is it yours?
Probably.
Okay. So we'll call you the your general manager, is that your title?
We share the management rights as the three of us, myself, Renee and Rohan. We all share equal billing through the restaurant.
So how do you divvy up your tasks, especially when it comes to the not so pleasant ones that
probably
happen in restaurants?
I think over the last couple of weeks, it's been sort of more refined in a friendly manner. It's been more front of house myself, looking after hosting, bar, and obviously wine, and then the guys, Renee and Anthony, sort of creating that really good niche and
how long
the liaison.
How long have you been working?
Yeah, so. We get the Edward and Anthony mixed up a bit, but no, I just think it works like a liaison type role. between the front and the back of the house.
Good, good, good. So I had the pleasure of being there on Wednesday night.
Right. What did you think?
I love the space. It's huge. And for those who aren't familiar, there is a gorgeous fine dining area with a massive water feature that sits in the centre of that. And then there is a more casual dining space, which is looking at the menu, going to be sort of congees and that sort of thing.
That's right.
Is
yeah.
that correct?
Yeah, so two separate spaces, and we refer to them as the light side and the dark side, and it even goes so far as to say the light and dark personality sides of Edward, yep. the owner. Dark side, of course, referring to the champagne bar and fine dining restaurant, the light side, evidently because it is white, the Yum Cha Bar and Bistro.
Okay, Yum Cha Bar and Bistro. I'm going to get my head around that.
And the two spaces are joined by private dining rooms, four of those that can seat up to 40 people maximum.
Mm. Why did it take so long to get right? It's been a very long journey. We've been talking about it in Melbourne for 3 years, and it's sort of been planned and in action for 3 years. Why do you think it took so long to get it to its birth?
Look, I think timing. Edward is particularly fastidious when it comes to setting up restaurants. I think timing is very important in setting up such a large establishment, and he wanted to refine his idea and really enter the Melbourne market at 100%. And I think he's taken his time to get to where he is, just to get it right and to create something that is unique to Melbourne and will fit into the Melbourne landscape and not step on anyone's toes.
So what can we expect? Give us an idea of the food, because it's not what we've come to know as traditional Chinese food.
Not traditional at all. It's really a combination of... the kitchen is literally broken down into two halves. One half servicing the bistro, serving those ramens, congees, lunch boxes, and handmade dim sum. The fine dining area is very much focused on French, with a little slant towards Japanese. We are referring to the cuisine as duck, duck, goose cuisine rather than being a French restaurant.
Right.
It's now duck, duck, goose, which is our unique take on French cuisine, just a little different than most people are doing here in Melbourne.
So French and Chinese cuisine is not traditionally slammed together?
No, I wouldn't refer to it as fusion, that's for sure.
It's not certainly, fusion?
No, if you look at the key kitchen staff, are all trained in traditional French, all from Japan. So utilising some of those more interesting and exotic flavours from Japanese food and using those flavours in a French setting is really, I think, the angle that we're coming across.
How much of the wine list is Australian, Rahul?
Well, at the moment, probably about 30%, something like that. One of the things I wanted to create with this wine list was a balance. That was something that was very, very strong in the way I wanted to try and food match at the same time. And so by saying that, we decided that, yes, we'll have a good French selection and a good Australian selection, but we also wanted to expand that into some of the Spanish and Italian whites, which go very, very well with this type of food. And I say to many people that I'm quite lucky to be able to work with this type of food, because I have a very much a sweet wine background, and is not many foods that you could use that sort of style of wine with, and definitely with this type of cuisine you can do that, yeah.
The voices you can hear belong to Rohan and Anthony, both here from Duck Duck Goose, which opens next week in Artemis Lane off Russell Street. It is a restaurant that's had a very, very long gestation. We'll talk a little more about that. And we'll also talk about your careers, boys. Where have you both come from? Because I'm not familiar with either of you, which is unusual.
Well, my wine career started in Europe, in fact. It's a little bit different to the average Australian. I am Australian, but I ventured over to France and England back in the late 90s. And soon enough, I fell in love with the whole industry, hospitality side of things in London. I then wanted to learn a little bit more, so started doing what we call vintage in Europe in the summer. And that basically entailed winery work and vineyard work at the same time. Then I decided, look, I might head back to the new world wine technology scene, which was, you know, at the time I thought was Australia, and came out and found that we're pretty much on par with what's going on over there. It allowed me then to get some education here. And then I went back again to do some more work in Eastern Europe in the wineries.
Where in Eastern Europe?
In Hungary and Slovakia.
Ah, nice. Nice part of the world.
It is, and you know, very, very, there's a sleeping giant in the wine world. A lot of Australians over there making wine for those guys trying to build up their techniques and try and get a little bit less oxidative style of wine. So yeah, no, it was an exciting time out there, very much so. You know.
So how long have you been back in Melbourne?
I've been here for about 3 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years off and on. I'm now living in the Yarra Valley, so I do venture in, but it's a nice place to live.
A bit of a hike after a hard night.
It is. But no, I love it out there, and I actually grew up as a kid out there in the vineyards and orchards. So
it's a very nice part of the world to be in. Anthony, yourself, you've come from where?
I come via some of Melbourne's restaurants, Jacques Remond most recently.
Okay.
Before that, a stint at Vaudemont, quite a number of years.
Botanical. So French is your bag.
Very, very strong French background, very strong hospitality background, but always in Melbourne.
Okay, Melbourne boy. You worked with Jacques. Did you work with Chris Young?
I did work with Chris Young.
Chris Young's a terrific man.
He's a great guy. I learned a lot from him.
So what made you jump ship? What made you decide that Duck Duck Goose and the Camfoot Group was where you wanted to be?
After meeting Edward, Edward's a very charismatic person and has a great vision, and I think being part of that vision was something I was very excited to be part of. I see a great restaurant, a great product, and something very unique for Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And to be involved in something like that and to have a input on its direction and its development, it was too hard to say no.
Same for you?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, we talk about the time it's taken to get this thing going. It's you would never know it, speaking to Edward. The drive and the enthusiasm is strong, very, very strong.
He's quite a charismatic man, isn't he?
Mm.
Incredibly so.
Watching him speak the other night and seeing there was some sort of love in his eyes for this venue. How many venues are in the group in Sydney?
Two in Sydney,
mm-hmm.
and one other one here.
Okay. What's the other one here?
It's in Doncaster, Camfook.
Okay, right. And what are the two in Sydney?
Both Camfook, one in Bondi Junction and one in Chatswood.
There we go. Covered the whole company. Someone's tweeting that Iron Chef Sakai is on MasterChef next week. I think that's a bit scary. There you go. Interesting things happening around the world. And two gentlemen sitting in front of me. We've realised it's a very small world. Anthony and Rohan, both here from Duck Duck Goose. I wanted to talk about the name Duck Duck Goose because it's a kids' game.
It is a kids' Chinese kids' game.
Do you know how it's played?
I think, if I recall correctly, you sit in a circle in a bunch of chairs. One person walks around the outside of the circle, tapping people on the head, saying, duck, 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 as they go.
Right.
And when they tap that person on the head and say goose, that person has to run and chase them around the circle, and the first one back to the seat wins.
Well, it's a bit like Kiss Chasey.
It is a bit, yeah.
We're
it's where it starts.
Now, Anthony, you're a Mildura boy.
I am.
I discovered while we were playing that song.
I am. I come down to Melbourne about 10 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did. I spent most of my life in Mildura.
It's a very small world. That is my hometown, or very close to. I'm a Redcliffs boy, which is, 6 km or something?
Yeah.
The suburb of Mildura,
yeah. If you could say so.
Yeah, very long life. So let's talk more about the food at Duck Duck Goose. Is there duck or indeed goose on the menu?
We have duck, and we have goose represented in the form of foie gras.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, duck.
So how extensive is this menu? Because this wine list that I've just had a bit of a flick through is not 1,000 pages long, thank Christ, because nobody wants to wade through.
No, that was the goal that was set, which was to keep the pages down and make the selection quick.
Mm.
And so by just saying that, try and refine the amount of wines and give people, say, two differences in, say, Sauv Blanc or Chardonnay, and try and match them as closely as we can to the food.
Much to my surprise, I noted two New Zealand Sauv Blancs on your wine.
Correct.
List.
Yep.
We have a bit of a thing on this show. Basically, every guest that comes on gets to join in this debate about New Zealand Sauv Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
And is it or is it not a good or bad thing?
Mm.
My mind has been changed. I've sort of gone in a semicircle since we started the show a year ago to the point where I now ban a New Zealand Sauv Blanc in my house.
Okay. it happens at our house too sometimes. Definitely, with the New Zealand Sauv Blancs, we tasted a lot over the last few weeks, and the goal was set, which was to find a Sauv Blanc of difference, and not necessarily from Marlborough, although we do have one now on there.
Now, the other one's Martinborough, which is sort of the new world of New Zealand wine.
Correct. Mm. Correct. A little bit different soils, slightly a bit more flinty and crisp. You know, it's still a very... The Sauv Blanc, for me, is sometimes a very difficult sell to the male population. And I'd like to think that sometimes with a little bit of oak aging or even through fermentation, you can get a little bit more bolder style. And so they're having to do that now.
Well, it's starting to happen more frequently that people are putting Sauv Blanc on wood for 6 months to give it that boldness.
Yeah.
Recent Good Food and Wine show here in Melbourne, I tasted probably half a dozen Sauv Blancs that have been on wood.
Okay.
All of which were Australian. And I think we make extraordinary Sauv Blanc in this country.
We do.
Adelaide Hills, the southwest of WA, even here in Victoria, we produce amazing Sauv Blanc, and I don't see the point of buying the shit from across the ditch, as I want to call it.
Well put.
It has two names. The Slut Juice has been used on this program before, and Bitch Diesel.
Yeah.
And I mean, my
can
my,
I use that?
Yeah, you can. Totally. The only reason I have this thing against it is because it's we have such a vibrant industry here, and recently watching people in bobcats or whatever they were mowing down their grapevines in and around Mildura. And seeing those images, it just makes me shudder and shake. That you know, that's generations of families who've tended to those vines, and now just they're having to bulldoze them out because they can't sell the fruit.
Yeah,
and yet we continue this importation of a lot of slop from New Zealand. And I don't really have anything against it, but
no.
I think our own wine industry is in more peril than we think.
Absolutely. And I think you'll find in this list as well a lot of boutique styles from boutique makers. And that has been part of the goal. And a lot of tasting did go down in the first few weeks because I wanted to make sure that we were hitting the mark. And so, yeah, you will see some names on there you've probably never heard of.
How's your liver?
Struggling. Yeah, the bloodshot eyes is where I'm trying to clear up. But no, it's fine, thanks.
Elbalon, if you can buy the drops, go buy Elbalon.
I'll write that down.
Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
I won't explain how I know that they're so good, but I quite often see a little bleary-eyed on a Saturday as I come in here to do this show as well. I think last week or the week before was the first show, and I've been doing this for a year. We've celebrated 50 episodes last week. Fantastic. I think the first Saturday I'd come in without a hangover, which is a bit scary that my Friday nights are so routine. So, Anthony, a bit more about the food. Give us a hint of what we can expect.
A little hint of what you can expect. In terms of the menu, we are running with two styles. We have an a la carte offering, a selection of entrees, with our signature dish being an aromatic seared quail dish. I'm not going to give any more away unless you come in and have a try.
I love quail.
We also have a degustation, and we are sort of offering degustation as a premium option in the restaurant. Degustations ranging up to 10 courses.
Christ. And how much time have we got to eat that?
As long or as little as you need.
Because I did... who was talking to a chef recently at Paco Ranchero, who's from Spain, and they do a 26-course degustation in, 2 hours or something.
Wow.
Which I just think I'd explode.
I don't think it'd be quite relaxing, would it?
No. Okay, web address for Duck Duck Goose?
At the moment, we are going au-ddg.com.
And there's not much on there. It's
not
just
much
a landing
on there at
page
the moment.
Sure. With nice red, a nice red picture and some Chinese music.
That's what it is.
Guys, thank you so much for coming in and joining me. And we can't sort of do much more than recommend that people go and form their own opinions of the restaurant. We certainly don't endorse any particular schools of thought. But I think it's a restaurant that's taken so long to birth that we're quite happy that it's now with us.
We are too.
Absolutely.
That's Anthony and Rohan, both from Duck Duck Goose, part of the management team, really. Joining me to talk a little about Slow Sundays is the ever-so-gorgeous Jane Kinsey, who is the event and venue manager at the James Squire Brewhouse. Jane, good afternoon.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Good, thank you. Welcome to Cravings.
Thank you.
Now, Slow Sundays, a meal and a drink for $15.
That's right, yep. Basically, 20 restaurants in the Docklands precinct will be offering this great offer. So you pretty much get a tasting plate and a glass of beer or a house wine.
That's pretty cheap.
It's pretty good, absolutely. And it just gives you a chance to kind of experience some of the restaurants down in the Docklands area. It's really good.
It's an area that we don't know enough about, I think. Is it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Fair?
It's kind of good to get down here and check it out because it has changed quite a lot over the last few years, and it's certainly going to get better. So, and we've got some beautiful waterfront views there. A lot of the restaurants are on the waterfront, so it's definitely worth the trip down.
Now, the piazza there also has free entertainment on Sunday afternoons. There's music and
Yeah, that's correct. There's a Sunday market, sir. Collector's market. It's great for, you know, jewellery, knickknacks, bits and pieces. At the brew house where I work, the James Squire Brew House in the waterfront there, we've got live music all weekend, and Sunday afternoons we have a nice little Latin duo downstairs. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very relaxed feel. So, yeah.
So how long has the brew house been...
We've been there for about 4.5 years, coming up to 5 years.
So, and you brew on site?
We do brew on site. We've got a microbrewery upstairs. Mm-hmm. We usually brew 3 different styles of beer up there.
Which are?
So we've got the Crack, the Highwayman, and the Waterfront Wheat. And the Crack's a stout beer that we do. The Highwayman is a red ale, mm-hmm. and the Waterfront Wheat is a really lovely wheat beer.
Nice. I'm quite a fan of wheat beer. So talk me through a Sunday. I come down, I have a bit of a wander about the markets, maybe have a sip of a hot chocolate perhaps, and then dump myself into one of the restaurants.
Yeah, sure. So the slow Sundays start at 2 p.m. and go through until 6. So there's 20 restaurants there that have the offer on.
Now, I'm actually, while you say that, I'm going to run through. So there's Bellissimo, Cucina, and Trattoria, Fish Seafood Grill, The Butcher's Grill, Meat and Wine Room, Kobe Jones, Blue Fire, Churrascaria Grill, how's my Spanish, the Melbourne Yacht Club Hotel, Yum Cha Dragon Chinese, James Squire Brewhouse, which is you. So they're all at
Waterfront City.
Waterfront City.
Yep.
Then in Harbour Town, there's Chili Party and the Harbour Town Hotel. Then at New Quay, we've got Live Bait, Mecca Bar, Saganaki, Steakhouse, Renzo's, Berth, Liquid Restaurant, which is a tapas bar, Bofa Divi Docklands, which is Cambodian, Alumbra at Central Pier, and the Woolshed Pub. There you go.
Yeah, so there's a few, definitely quite a few Sundays worth of restaurants there to get through. and each sort of offers something a little different. So, mm-hmm. The That's Melbourne website is a great website to go to kind of get some more information, which is thatsmelbourne.com.au.
And this is all tied in with Melbourne City Council, is it not?
That's correct,
So what's their push? Is their push to see more people in the Docklands area?
Well, theirs is really to kind of just promote the area and get people down there. It's a beautiful area. Once you're down there and you've found yourself a nice cozy nook somewhere, and you can look across the waterfront and enjoy a nice cold beer or a lovely glass of wine. It's quite relaxed. It's very family friendly. Mm-hmm. So kids are most welcome. You know, they have a lot of kids activities down there on a Sunday. They'll have things on. So definitely worth a day out.
At the minute, I believe we can go ice skating in Docklands.
That's correct, yes. The Ice House has recently opened, which is proving really popular.
Have you been?
I have. I've taken my daughter there. It's good fun. I've been to a few ice hockey games as well.
Ice hockey?
Yeah, they've got the Melbourne Ice. It's their home ground there. So it's good fun.
I didn't even know that we played ice hockey in Melbourne.
we do. And Melbourne's doing really, really well this season. So definitely worthwhile checking it out.
So, Jane, you learn something new every day. Now, have you got the best job in the world working for a brew house, do you think?
I think I do. There's not many people in the world with my job. I get to do a lot of beer tastings, which is really tough.
Tough world indeed. Now, your associate, is it? There's another James Squire brew house in Melbourne, is there not?
Yes, on Russell Street. Russell. There's one there near Bourke. That's another James Squire brew house there as well, and they do similar to us. They've got a microbrewery there with some really delicious food, lovely atmosphere. I think they've got live music on weekends as well, so
certainly no complaining from me.
Yeah, two nice locations to go and spend a Sunday.
So what happens after the 29th of August? Do we go into to something for autumn or for winter? For spring?
For the brew house or for...
For the brew house or Docklands? I mean, obviously there's going to be a calendar of events.
Yeah, sure. Well, basically what we've got happening at the moment at the brew house is I've got a trivia night on Wednesday nights, which is good fun.
I love a trivia night.
We've got some of the best prizes in Melbourne. I think $100 for the winner.
$100?
Yeah, $100 for the winning team and $50 for second, so definitely worthwhile.
I will have to gather my my brains trust and get our bums down here, I think.
Definitely, it's good fun. We've got live music all weekend, Friday, Saturday nights from 9 o'clock, and on Sundays we've got the Latin duo, which I mentioned before.
Yep.
And through the week, from 5 to 6, we've got our James Squire Gold Ale, which is $5 pints of beer, which is a good way to sort of wind up the day.
Nice.
Yeah, which is good. And we've also got, which is sort of a little random, but it's good and people really like it, is the UFC, Ultimate Fighting. On a, whenever that's on the pay-per-view, we've got it on our venue. So
Sorry, I'm not with the Ultimate Fighting. What is it?
Oh, sorry. It's a really popular sport in America and in Canada, and it's basically sort of a mixed martial arts fighting.
Sounds a bit violent for me.
Oh, it is, but people are into it, and we sort of pack out upstairs every Sunday when it's on, so it's good. It's something a little different.
Well, look, it sounds like there's a great deal going on. Jane, thank you for joining us here on Cravings.
Pleasure.
We'll see you for a lazy Sunday. Thanks.
Thanks, Peter. We'll hopefully see you at the Docklands soon.
You will indeed. It's on my side of the river, so I'm certainly going to be there.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Jane.
Okay.
That's Jane Kinsey. She's the venue and event manager at the James Squire Brewhouse, which is at said venue, Docklands. So that sounds like a wonderful way to be spending a Sunday, eating and having a glass of wine, although I don't think I could handle wine today. Now, I normally leave the weird stuff, I try and do that early in... Excuse me. I try and do that early in my foodie news and finish with something interesting, but I think this is really the most interesting thing I have found. There is a perfect gift for the girl who has everything, including a desire to secretly drink while simultaneously getting a breast lift. This is called the Wine Rack, and it is a sports bra with a plastic bladder that can hold an entire bottle of wine. Now, if you don't believe me, you can go to the website baronbob.com, baronbob.com. You won't find this at Victoria's Secret. Paul Krasulia of Baron Bob boasted to the New York Daily News, "I don't consider it fine-looking lingerie, but it's a good-looking piece." Basically, the US $30 device is a black sports bra with a polyurethane bladder inside and a drinking tube long enough to sip from. I kid you not, this is in the news. The liquid, the website promises, will turn an A cup into double D's. And where exactly would you want to sport this piece of equipment, questions this website. Suggest filling it with wine or cocktails and wearing it to the movies, to concerts, to ball games, even to the PTA meetings. So there you go. You heard it first, right here. A wearable wine rack that is, in fact, a bra. Bizarre. Stranger things, I suppose, have been invented in the world. Now, coming up next week, we're going to meet the very lovely Richard Cornish. Richard is a man who's co-written 1001 cookbooks with people like Frank Camora, and he's written the two Movida books. So, yes, Richard will be joining us next week. Also joining us next week, well, look, it's a bit of a secret, I can't tell you. And we head into the final week this week of MasterChef, so no doubt I'm assuming your eyes will, like mine, be peeled to the television. I'm going to leave you. It's been Cravings on Joy 94.9. My name is Pete Dillon. Thanks to my guests, Anthony and to Rohan. Also to Jane Kinsey from the James Squire Brewhouse. And I will be back with you next week.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.